Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. We have some, you know, some great news to bring you. Obviously, Chase Young has been reinstated by Ohio State. He will be playing not this week against Rutgers, but he will be back for the Penn State game. Just absolutely huge news.
Yeah, absolutely huge news. We found out, what, Wednesday? Something like that, Wednesday? Yeah. But yeah, it's absolutely huge news. He's going to be chomping at the bit. I feel sorry for Sean Clifford. And all the, there's a bunch of people who are trying to say that, who leaked this? Was it Maryland's head coach? Was it Maryland's assistant coaches? I've heard as far as James Franklin reported it. I don't know. I don't care. The Predator is back, and he's going to have a big day next Saturday when that time comes.
Absolutely, Cass. And, like, I kind of briefly touched upon this on Twitter, but I think this is probably the best scenario for literally every single party, including Chase Young, because when you look at it, yes, I mean, he's not going to win the Heisman now, but I guess that's kind of less pressure on him. You know, he gets a nice two-week bye week in the middle of the season to rest up, heal up, which at this point, everyone's worn down. I'm worn down from this season already, and I'm not even playing, so I can't imagine how these guys feel. Penn State gets Chase Young back for the biggest game. Yes, it's not ideal because they have to face him, but beating an Ohio State team without Chase Young would, you know, kind of not look as good as if they do. Rutgers doesn't get to get killed this week. The NCAA looks tough because they handed him a suspension. And Ohio State looks like they, you know, they complied and everything. So all around, I think everyone's pretty happy with this one.
Yeah, win-win situation all the way around. I know they asked Chase Young and his, and Ohio State asked Chase Young and his family if they wanted to appeal. They said, no, I want to get back on the field. Because think about if he appealed, think about how long longer to be out. So they went ahead, just took the two games, be back for Penn State on the biggest game, senior day, probably his last game in the scarlet and gray in the shoe. So he's going to be ready. He's going to be ready for that game. Not to be like everybody else, but I'm going to be right there with Ryan Day and not overlook Rutgers, even though everybody's kind of tending to overlook Rutgers. But we are. If Ryan Day is not overlooking Rutgers, I'm not going to overlook Rutgers.
I saw on Twitter a $5 money line bet on Rutgers this week would win you $10,000 if Rutgers won.
Wow.
That's how bad the odds are for Rutgers.
Is that win outright or?
Yeah. Outright money line. Like, if Rutgers beats Ohio State, you put $5 on it, you win $10,000.
Well, what if Ohio State doesn't cover the spread? I wonder how much money you win that. If you take Rutgers, but without, you know, you take Rutgers, but still have them lose. I mean, they could still lose by 40 points, but, you know, I wonder how much money you would win that way. Needless to say, I don't know. I mean, speaking of spreads, so last week, 7-3-14, I did not expect that. Did you?
I did. I honestly did not. I thought they would start out a little slower with the whole Chase Young situation, but they came out focused and motivated, and I mean, they did not miss a beat. That this Ohio State team, they came out and absolutely shell shocked Maryland real quick, and that onside kick was the greatest play I've ever seen in live. Like, I've seen the Curtis Samuel two overtime touchdown. I've seen the 85 yards to the heart of the South, the Michael Thomas catch. But I don't know. That onside kick was just something. It was incredible.
Great timing, too. Ryan Day saw a hole in the coverage of Maryland. So he signaled to Blake Hoggle, and next thing up, it had everybody faked, even including announcers. Chris Olave's on the kickoff team for a reason, and he caught it in stride. How many guys can you say caught a onside kick in stride? And if he didn't run out of bounds, he could have probably returned it for a touchdown.
Yeah, that's the amazing part about that. It's like Maryland did have, I think, the return man kind of, you know, force him out of bounds. Like, I mean, he ran out of bounds because guy was going to get him. But I mean, if there wasn't a guy there on Maryland, like you said, he could have kept running with that. He could have scored with that potentially, which is just amazing.
Yeah, but I think in college football, you can't advance a onside kick.
I believe you can. No, I'm pretty sure you can.
I know, maybe it's the NFL you can't. I don't know. I have to look that rule up. But that was one of the most fantastic plays I've ever seen. Probably the play of the game. Maybe the play of the year. And let, you know, until as of right now, it's the play of the year.
You know, I love it too. Because other teams are going to have to scout for this. Like, you know, Michigan, Penn State, whoever we play in the Big Ten Championship potentially. And in the bowl games, they're going to have to scout for this. Like, they're going to have to take time and be like, all right, Ryan Day has showed he will kick an onside kick, so we got to, you know, make sure we're not cheating to a specific side. It keeps these teams honest, keeps them, you know, on their toes. And, I mean, Ryan Day also is breaking out these wide receiver reverses. I don't know if you noticed that. I think he has something up his sleeve in one of these games. I think we're going to see a wide receiver reverse pass because at one point he ran a receiver reverse like three times in a row down by the goal line. I think this game was all about giving some kind of tape for other teams to look at, and then he's going to throw something completely different out there in a few weeks.
Yeah, I think this week against Rutgers is going to be the same way. You may see a different shade of thing. Will you see Justin Fields and Chris chugging off on the field? Maybe. You know, I doubt it. But who knows what's up Ryan Day's sleeve? Because, you know, they're playing Rutgers. They're, you know, they, in my opinion, they're probably already preparing for Penn State. But they know they can go out and beat Rutgers. I mean, Ryan Day can say what he wants. But I think they're preparing for Penn State, but in a different way. Not necessarily, you know, running against Penn State scout, you know, having the scout team run Penn State stuff. But I think they're already preparing for Penn State for showing them more formations, form and more plays, so for Penn State has to prepare for. That's what I'm saying when they're playing against Rutgers, when they're preparing against for Penn State, is showing them more formations and showing them different plays and different ways and to score, just to give something Penn State more to prepare for.
I mean, for all we know, Cass, Ryan Day could break out the Wildcat this week and, like, have, like, Master Teague running the Wildcat. Wouldn't that be something?
What if DeMario McCall, who finally got going last week late in the fourth quarter, comes out in the Wildcat? Or Chris Olave. Chris Olave's electric with the ball. Who knows? Heck, Jeremy Rucker could go out there.
That would be tight end at the Wildcat position. That would be something, man. I would pay every cent to see that.
And have him chuck the ball to Ben Victor in the end zone? I mean, who knows? Who knows what Ryan Day has up his sleeve against Rutgers? But then again, you got to see Marcus Crowley run the ball. Master Teague was the leading rusher with 111. I mean, J.K. Dobbins had 90 yards, but that was all in the first half. I mean, I thought maybe you see a couple more drives out of the first team, but no. Came out with Chris Chuganoff in the second half and the second team. And you had four guys rush over 75 yards against Maryland. That's insane.
Mm-hmm. I mean, too, the receivers, too. Garrett Wilson, four catches, 82 yards, and a touchdown. Should have had another touchdown from that beautiful throw by Chug that got called back because of a holding, I believe, on DeJuan Jones. But KJ Hill caught a touchdown. Victor caught a touchdown. Chris Olave caught a touchdown. I mean, the receivers were, you know, just solid as usual.
And that was in our keys.
Yeah.
The receivers would have to have a big game, and that's what Ryan Day did. How about this? Going in the late in the fourth quarter, Maryland's driving. We had four penalties right in a row, and they weren't like quick called penalties. They were like they had to call a conference with the referees. My question is, and this is going back to listening to 97.1 The Fan here in Columbus during the show with Paul Keel, Skip Mossick, John Cooper, and Jim Lachey. I was on my way home from a late night at work, and I got the tail end of that game, tail end of the show, so I can't remember what the show is called. And it's every Monday, and they were complaining that the refs were calling ticky-tack fouls in late in the fourth quarter that caused Maryland to score another touchdown. Three big penalties right in a row, and they were all had to be a conference. Like, the referees had to come together to figure out what the penalty was. In a game like that, when it's a blowout already, I know, understand the safety of the penalty, but if it's a ticky-tack foul or something like doesn't need to really be called, why are you throwing the penalty just to slow the game down?
Yeah, let the clock run. I agree with you, man. And too, it doesn't help at all too when it was like 30 degrees at the stadium. It was honestly a really cold one, man. It hasn't been that cold since the Michigan game from like 2 years ago. It was freezing.
Well, and my biggest thing is the biggest stupid penalty I saw was the Zach Harrison sack where he got up and flexed. He didn't even look at the quarterback. He just got up, flexed, and that was it.
Yeah, and I believe Shelley Meyer tweeted something like, how come the Ohio State guys get called for this, but in the SEC, they're doing the same exact thing and there was no call.
Big Ten rest, man.
Yeah, it was ridiculous in my opinion.
So, I mean, we blow out Maryland. We don't need much more to talk about. Get Chase Young back this week. Buckeye Nation is feeling great about themselves this week. Here comes Wednesday night. College basketball, big time game in the shot. Villanova comes into town, 10th ranked Villanova. The first time the Buckeyes come in and beat a top 10 opponent. A non-conference opponent. No, this was the first non-conference top 10 opponent that they've seen since 2012 when Kansas came in. That's a long time.
There's two things I love about this game. One, the fact that we got our top 10 win early, out of the way, in November. Just think about how huge that is, Cass. I mean, we beat Cincinnati. That's going to be a quality win. But we have our number one resume win, Villanova. Absolutely destroyed them. Do you know how far that's going to go in March, man? Like, even if we're on the bubble, that win itself, and I doubt we're going to be on the bubble, but God forbid we are, that win itself is going to hold enough water if, you know, Villanova just continues to play like Villanova, which I'm sure they will. But that win is just monstrous. And number two, Ohio State is going to start this season 7-0. Looking ahead to their schedule, they basically have four more gimme games. I think they have, like, Stetson, Fort Wayne, and two other, you know.
They got Morgan State on Black Friday at 9 p.m., which, by the way, I am going. I won tickets for that game.
Nice, man. They're going to be 7-0 by the time they face North Carolina. So just think about that. That game's shaping up to be a monstrous matchup.
That's going to be a top 10 showdown. No doubt. I think we're 16th now. We've moved up two spots, but here in a couple, you know, we play that in, 3 weeks? So if we keep moving up two spots by then, we'll be number 10. And we might be higher than that with beating Villanova. And what I loved about this game is our guard play came and showed up, and we found it, not only one, and I pointed this out last week, that if we didn't find a outside perimeter shooter or a perimeter shooter can just hit a jump shot, we're going to be in trouble this year. Not only did we find one, but we found three.
Yeah, we have. I mean, obviously, Dwayne Washington, I love that they're kind of using him to start now. Obviously, Andre Wesson's the heart and soul of this team, and he's out with that fractured eye socket. So, obviously, I would like to see him get healthy, get back out there. But Washington kind of adds a dimension that I don't think this team really has. He's just a good, consistent, efficient shooter.
Yeah, absolutely. Came out in the first 4 minutes, had 11 points, and I was texting you because and you're like, we don't have a Washington. I'm like, what? We have a Washington.
I know. I was an absolute idiot. I was like flustered because I was like driving home from this because I'm back in New York City this week because I'm going to the Rutgers game, but I was flustered because I was out to dinner. I was trying to get the game on my phone. I finally got it, and I'm like, there's no Washington. What do you mean? And then I completely forgot. Of course, there is Dwayne Washington. Just an absolute brain fart by me.
And then C.J. Walker's coming out party. And we already saw flashes of what D.J. Carton could do in the first games. Those three are going to become a long way once the Big Ten, the heart of the Big Ten season comes. When we need a shooter and Caleb Weston is either in foul trouble or he's not shooting the ball very well. Those are the three guys. And Luther Muhammad shot a couple shots. But how about the defense that Luther Muhammad and Kyle Young put on this team? They might be the two best defensive players, maybe, obviously, on this team. But they are hustle defensive players that the Buckeyes haven't had since maybe Aaron Kraft. And that's what those two, believe it or not, may not score a lot of points this year. And I know we want to see Luther Muhammad score, but his defense has shown a lot this year. I know it's just three games, but we've played two top 75 teams in the country already, and we've beaten them. And their defense, Kyle Young's defense and Luther Muhammad's defense, has really stepped up. And that's going to come a long way when we play the Michigan States and we play the North Carolinas and the Kentuckys. Can't believe we're saying that, you know, that we played them that this year, which this non-conference schedule is going to really help the Big Ten's conference schedule. And I really like the direction of this basketball team in three short games that we've had.
Dude, yeah, and also we got to touch upon this too, man. The young guys, obviously Carton, he's something special, but EJ Liddell, I mean, sunk two threes, 2 for 2 on his threes on the night. He is looking legit. Obviously, he's not scoring double digits yet because he's not playing enough minutes, but I think he's going to be something special. This game only reaffirmed that. I think in like probably by next year, he's going to be either close to a double-double machine or at least averaging at least 10 points a game, because he's that special, in my opinion. And then Alonzo Gaffney, too, just he's looking amazing, too. I mean, those two dunks he threw down at the end of the game, not many players can do that in college, man. And just this incoming freshman group we have right now is so, so talented, and they're only going to continue to get better. And I am so excited for the future of this program, like you said.
Yeah, the depth. This is first time since maybe the Final Four run that we had in 2012 that we have depth. We have depth everywhere on this basketball team. Chris Holtman's got this team playing at a high level. I can't wait for that December 4th matchup against North Carolina. Win or lose, that's going to be an epic matchup, because we are going to go in a tough environment. We're going to play on ESPN. And let's go back, you know, switch, you know, I can't wait for that. And then we got on CBS, we'll play Kentucky later on. So,
in Vegas.
In Vegas. So I think the basketball team is ready. I think if we can come out of this non-conference with one or two losses, it's going to really solidify. Because we even played West Virginia up in Cleveland, which I forgot about.
Mm-hmm.
That's how deep this non-conference schedule is. And I looked at it at the beginning of the year with the unknowns of what was going on. I figured we'd have a great year, good season, you know, the way we finished last year. Yeah, I was like, okay, if we can come out and win a couple of those big time matchups. But in my opinion, Jay Wright is one of the best coaches in college basketball. I didn't think we'd win Wednesday night, and they proved me wrong. They proved me wrong in a big way.
They really did. And I found an interesting stat about Caleb Wesson. John Rothstein tweeted this. I don't know if you guys are aware of John Rothstein. He's basically a big college basketball guy, probably the biggest college basketball guy today. Just an absolute nut, loves college basketball. Would rather go to a game at VCU than a summer vacation trip to Europe. That's how like passionate he is about college basketball. But he tweeted this. He goes, Ohio State's Caleb Wesson has grabbed double-figure rebounds in three consecutive games for the first time in his college career. Buckeyes are 10-0 over the past 3 years in games where Caleb Wesson grabs 10 or more rebounds.
Huh. That's crazy.
There's two things that I found kind of odd about that. One, I had no idea that if Caleb Wesson does that, he has that big of an impact. And number two, I feel like the fact that he's only had 10 games where he's had 10 or more rebounds is a little weird, because I thought he would have more.
Yeah, I thought so too. But yeah, I think last year Luther Muhammad had more rebound. I'll have to double check this, but he had more double digit rebound games than Wesson, I think, last year.
I can see it.
So obviously we got, you know, Monday we got Stetson, and then we got Indiana, Purdue, Fort Wayne, and then Morgan State. I think we'll blow out every single one of those games before we play North Carolina. At North Carolina, which would be huge, because it would be obviously our first road game.
And they have Cole Anthony. He's like a special player. People talking about him being like a top five pick.
Yeah. So I like where the direction of this team's going. Can't wait. But that's, really, really for this week in basketball, impressive win. And by the way, the women's basketball beat Cincinnati in overtime. So, Cincinnati, you're our little brother. I mean, I don't care.
They're more like our cousin from Kentucky. They're not even our little brother. I think of Ohio University more as our little brother.
No, we play Cincinnati more. I think Ohio University is the cousin you see once in a blue moon, maybe at funerals, or once every 3 years you see him at a family reunion, or, stuff like that. Cincinnati is a team that we do play quite often in other sports. And we do play them quite often in football, too. So they're like the cousin we see every year for Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it, is that's who they are, in my opinion, who they are.
That's a fair interpretation. Who's Dayton? Who's Dayton and Xavier?
Well, those are just the long-lost relatives. And then the one that you play every 20 years that beat you, and is Dayton's like the goat. It's like the guy that's starting running back on your football team that lives in old high school glories.
That's funny, man.
That you come back and they always talk about, oh yeah, you remember the first round of the NCAA tournament in 2013? Yeah, we beat you. Okay.
Miami Oxford's like your super smart sibling that like went and got like a PhD in like English.
Yes. And then Toledo is the little scrappy family member that will play you close and then beat your rival up. He's like Scrappy Doo. Like Toledo's like Scrappy Doo to our Scooby Doo.
Yeah, in Toledo, they probably do some type of blue collar work. Like they're like a pipe fitter or something, unionized, like solid career, good benefits, very scrappy, works hard.
Because yeah. they beat Michigan the same year Appalachian State did, and it was like the Browns player last night that already pushed Mason Rudolph when he was already down. So Toledo's like that guy.
And then there's Akron. Akron's your that one family member who's just, oh man, just not a good person. Just
suffers from depression and anxiety, and then Bowling Green is probably the same way. I can't believe we're talking about MAC schools.
there's too many MAC schools in Ohio, and then there's Kent State.
Can't read, can't write, Kent State.
Hey. They had an amazing comeback last night. I don't know if you watched it. If you have time, watch the highlights. I don't want to spend too much time on MAC schools, but that is our MACtion segment for the week.
And Kent State's awesome comeback, and then the offensive tackle who did a cartwheel for Ohio.
MACtion has been awesome this week. I mean, it really has been, especially being home this whole week, just kind of chilling. Having MACtion on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays kind of saved me from being bored. So thank you, MACtion. But we got to move on to real football. We have Rutgers. Well, I guess not really real football, but football.
Some of the MAC schools could beat Rutgers. Let me tell you what. By the way, breaking news: Ohio State came out with their injury report, players unavailable list. So sit back, get yourself a cup of coffee, because this is a pretty long list.
All right.
You ready?
Yep.
Obviously, Chase Young is out. C.J. Saunders is out. He's probably out for the season, which is an unfortunate. Jonathan Cooper's out. Offensive tackle Josh Alibi is out. Wide receiver Austin Mack. Austin Mack could be one of those guys to file for another year. Mm-hmm. Baron Browning is out. Marcus Crowley is out, even though he practiced this week. Matthew Jones is out. Elijah Gardner's out. Ronnie Hickman's out. Teron Vincent's out. As we know, Cameron Babb, he's been out all season. I think he's been out since spring game. He blew out his knee or something like that.
Jeez.
And then Noah Donald and Britt Novak, who are walk-ons. And did you see who earned their black stripe this week?
I did not. Who did?
It was a quarterback. A grad transfer quarterback. And I'm looking it up right now. Black Stripe Alert. It was. Here it is. They said he has the coolest name in college football.
Is it cooler than Steel Chambers or Master Teague?
No. I'm looking at the video right now, obviously, with no sound. And he's like this surfer dude. He was a, he's like a, he's number 16 on the roster.
Huh.
I'm looking at the Instagram, and obviously you can't see his, hold on. You can't see his, okay. Go ahead, and I'll go back to his name. Go ahead, and next topic about Rutgers.
That they're just not very good. We know this. You brought up a great point, though, kind of pre-game, well, pre-show. Do you think Ohio State this week goes for the Big Ten record in margin, points-wise, largest margin of victory? You said Michigan broke it in 2016. It was 78-0 against Rutgers. Do you think this Ohio State team could break that? I think they could easily score 80 on Rutgers. I really do.
Yeah, I got a buddy at work that says it's going to be 87-7. I don't know if it'll go that high. I'm not sure what Ryan Day is going to do, but
I mean, Maryland's better than Rutgers, and we were scoring every time, and we were just literally handing the ball off to Chamber, Crowley, and McCall. Like, we weren't doing anything flashy.
No, we weren't. I think in spite and knowing that Michigan won 78-0, I think Ryan Day goes for the jugular and goes 79-0.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel so bad for Rutgers because it's like when, you know, oh, Dobbins and Fields come out of the game, but guess who comes in? Oh, we have Garrett Wilson come in. We have Master Teague and DeJuan Jones, like a guy who's like, you know, close to 400 pounds, like 6'7", just an absolute giant comes in. Like, it's just, our backups are going to destroy them. It really comes down to what our third stringers do against them. I still think Gunnar Hoke's a better quarterback than their freshman, Johnny Langan. I mean, yeah. This guy has, on his season, 3 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
Last year had 4 touchdowns and like 18 interceptions?
Yeah, he has a 53% completion percentage. I mean, the only redeeming thing about Rutgers is the running backs. Like Isaiah Pacheco, he's solid. Raheem Blackshear, I'm pretty sure, is out for the season, or he's hurt, because he's not playing, it looks like. Bo Melton's probably their best receiver. I mean, they're just really not. And Avery Young, their corner, he's a good corner. But really, other than that, I mean, Rutgers is in shambles. Their coach is Nunzio Campanelli. Sounds like a guy who, you know, should be at the Jersey Shore. It's just baffling to me that, you know, they're in the Big Ten, because this team is not Big Ten caliber.
No, by the way, the quarterback's name is Jaeger LaRoe.
That's pretty sick.
And he wears number 16, so he's got a lot to fill with that number 16 jersey. I want to see Jaeger LaRoe play this week.
I bet you Jaeger LaRoe throws more touchdowns than the Rutgers quarterbacks this week. That's my bold prediction. That's my bold prediction. We're going to see Jaeger LaRoe LaThrow a touchdown.
Yeah. I think it could be Jagger LaRoe, because it's J-A-G-G-E-R. But you never know. It's either Jaeger or Jagger. So I'm going to let's go Jagger LaRoe. Jagger LaRoe. That just sounds cool.
Jagger. I'm trying to find this guy. Jagger LaRoe. Oh, that's Jagger. Yeah, that's Jagger.
Jagger LaRoe.
He's got the moves like Jagger.
Coley Taxi. Yes, we want this guy. I want this guy to play. He's only a redshirt freshman. Does that mean he's going to be, as of right now, he's going to be Justin Fields' backup next year?
Oh, he used to play at A&M, it looks like. Okay.
He's an A&M transfer.
Yeah, okay, so he can't be that bad.
No.
No, he can ball, I bet. So sweet.
Yes, I want him to play.
Let's go Jagger.
Yeah, he just earned his black stripe, so... But yeah, Rutgers can probably... all the MAC schools that we just mentioned up could probably beat them. That's how bad they are. And I'm still surprised they haven't named Greg Schiano the head coach.
I mean,
I figured they'd do it this week.
Yeah, Greg Schiano would be an awesome choice for them, in my opinion, just because he would give them some stability. And, I mean, they would, I think, go to a bowl game under him. They'd be like kind of like Lovie Smith with Illinois, I think.
Yeah, they'd be 6-6 every year and everything. And by the way, how about the Indiana Hoosiers being ranked now?
I know. Just that game. Who knew that game in September would be such a huge one for the Buckeyes? I mean, that's looking at like a nice little resume booster.
They play Penn State this week.
Mm-hmm. Which, when we get into our quick picks, I have a bold prediction.
Okay. But yeah, they're obviously the players that I listed, half of them don't even need to be playing anyways. Maybe they are keeping Jonathan Cooper out, maybe Austin Mack, to possibly get them, you know, because they haven't played. I mean, even if they do play against Penn State or Michigan or the Big Ten title, that's still, like, that's, I think, still less than four games that they've played this year.
Cooper is at three right now, so he can play one more. And then Mack, I think he's, like, kind of the same with Cooper. But, I mean, I could totally see it, Cass, you know, keeping Mack and Saunders and Hilliard. Hilliard's applying for his medical redshirt. And Cooper. Keep all those guys returning. That's a nice little core of, like, senior leadership. Because, what, Saunders is a captain. Cooper's a captain.
Austin Mack can technically do it because he's only a first-year senior. I'm looking at the roster right now. He can do it. And Jonathan Cooper can do it because they're not redshirt,
mm-hmm.
So they could technically do it. By the way, I didn't know we had five quarterbacks on this team. JP Andrade is a quarterback too.
Do you think we might see him?
Possible. He's from Laverne, California.
I just think with Cooper and all these guys. I mean, Cooper is the only one that I think I have doubts of him coming back. Not doubts, but it's up in the air because I think he has the talent to go pro. I think he can make a roster. He won't be drafted, obviously. I don't think he has enough tape, enough stats. But I think he would make a roster or at least, you know, make it to a camp and be able to compete and take it from there. So that's kind of up to him. I think Saunders will definitely be back if they grant it to him, which I don't see why they wouldn't grant it to him. And Mack too should be back, but I could also see him trying to go leave for the NFL and try to make a roster. I think he definitely has a talent, but I mean he might want to come back and improve on his draft stock.
Yeah, I mean obviously we'll lose Ben Victor and KJ Hill next year, but we'll have Chris Olave. We'll have Jalen Harris, which is a forgotten name, which I'm surprised he hasn't threw his name in the portal yet, which I hate to say this, but I highly expect him to do that.
Him or Elijah Gardner?
Yeah, Elijah Gardner also, because we'll have those guys. We'll have
Julian Fleming.
Julian Fleming. We'll have number six.
G. Williams. Scott. Oh, yeah, Jameson Williams.
G. Scott.
Jackson Smith Najigba. I can't even pronounce his name.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yep.
Jalen Gill.
Yep.
Just, wow. Just a number of wide receivers. But how about the play? Let's talk about the play of Tough Borland last week. Tough Borland looked pretty good last week.
He did. He really did, Cass. I mean, he had a couple. I think he had a big sack at one point.
Mm-hmm. And how about the play of Malik Harrison? Two batted balls, but he went up in the air for those.
Yeah, I mean, Malik Harrison obviously showing you why he's probably one of the best linebackers in the Big Ten. Just, you know, he's been so consistent this season. I mean, he hasn't really flashed. He's flashed. But I feel like he hasn't had his dominant performance yet. He's been just he's been very good, but he hasn't been great yet. And I want to see him, you know, take it up a notch with, you know, coming down the stretch.
I mean, him and Jordan Fuller lead the team in tackles.
I know. I just feel like Malik Harrison has been very quiet so far.
He's not having those big pop hits like he did against Michigan and Washington to finish this.
Yeah, and it's not saying that he's not playing bad, because he's playing great. He's doing everything like I've expected. He's not making many mistakes or anything, but he just hasn't had that big play yet. And I would like to see him do something, honestly, this week so he can get, you know, momentum going.
Honestly, all the linebackers are playing fantastic. You can't complain about any of them. Blake, and everything, so hold on. Man, this cold has been kicking my butt this week. But yeah, I mean, by the way, Master Teague is 300 yards from breaking. He's got 699 yards rushing. He could break 1,000 yards this year.
I mean, I think he'll have over 100 against Rutgers easily. It's going to be tough with Michigan and Penn State, I think, to average 100 in those. So I think, I mean, maybe near the Big Ten championship he'll break it, but
close.
Yeah, he's going to be close. But I mean, and Devon Hamilton, we kind of completely forgot to mention this, but Devon Hamilton had a game last week, 2 sacks, really stepped it up on the defensive line, like kind of. He was the leader, while Chase Young was out. I mean, you could tell he was leading that group, and he had an awesome game.
I think he's been the leader all year.
I agree. I think he's been the silent leader. I think, obviously, Chase Young does his thing, but I think they all kind of look up to Devon Hamilton to, you know, kind of set the tone.
Yeah. Blake Harrison has 4.5 sacks on the season, second on the team. He's got 46 tackles, 16 assisted, 30 unassisted. He's got 10.5 tackles for loss, which is second from Chase Young's 15.5. But Chase Young's 13.5 sacks are considered also tackles for loss also. So Malik Harrison, believe it or not, I mean, like you said, he hasn't had those big pop hits. But, boy, he is having a fantastic season.
And it's just, like, it's so impressive because it's so quiet.
Yeah, it is. Because you're seeing Tuff Borland step up. You're seeing Pete Warner step up. Baron Browning step up. Tarada Mitchell, when he gets a chance, step up. Jordan Fuller's having a quiet season, too.
He is. You mentioned Tarada Mitchell. I have an idea. A wild idea. And I want you to hear it out and just tell me if I'm crazy or not. So when the Chase Young situation happened, they were kind of experimenting with, like, Rashad Berry at defensive end. He played a couple snaps at both tight end and defensive end during the Maryland game. But what if we threw Tarada Mitchell at defensive end?
He was also recruited. Rashad Berry was recruited as a defensive end.
I know. I know. I just feel like, let's throw Tarada Mitchell at defensive end. I would love to see that. I think that might be a better position for him. I don't know why. I just feel like he might have the body for it. The way he plays, I think he could be a good defensive end.
He's 6'2", 242, which is very undersized.
That's really not, though. That's not.
That's a nice linebacker size.
Bosa, I think Joey or Nick was about 250, 255. He's just about
height-wise.
Six-two's not small. I mean, when you look at Tarada Mitchell, I'm like, that's a big boy. So, I don't know. I feel like you could throw him at defensive end against Rutgers in Maryland. He'd be fine. Obviously, against like Penn State and Michigan, I wouldn't recommend it. But you beef him up in the offseason, put him at defensive end. I think we might be on something here, man.
Possible. I mean, we did it with Sam Hubbard.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just think of the way he hits too. I would like to have him hitting the quarterback, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, keys to victory and score predictions. There's not much really you can say keys to victory other than stay healthy and don't overlook. I mean, you know those players are kind of overlooking. Just be healthy, stay healthy. That's my only key to victory. And don't turn the ball over. You know, work on the penalties. You know, play a clean game, and you should come out fine either way.
Yeah, I mean, my key to victory, I guess, is just get yours this game. Like, this is the last game of the year where you can get your stats in. Like, you can really pad your stats. So, for all my guys out there looking to pad your stats, this is the game. Get your stats in because, you know, next week, Penn State, Michigan, Big Ten Championship, it gets real. And those games, you know, you're not going to have the opportunity to run for, 200 yards like it's nothing or throw for, 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's not going to happen. So this week, pad your stats, stay healthy. Completely agree with you, man.
Yeah, and I'm going with the victory of, just because I hate Michigan and I want to despise Michigan, 79-0.
I'm trying to do a calculator here. Hold on. Let me get a calculator. I got to calculate this. Because we're going to break 80 on them. That's my prediction. I just want to give a realistic score prediction. Calculator. You're doing math here.
I don't think
it's
score.
Okay, no, I got. Hold on. Times
85. I learned that the fact that you can hear it banging on a calculator.
I am. I'm like doing. All right, we're gonna score 12 touchdowns. Gonna be 84-0. Boom. I had to multiply 7. I'm just so bad with my times tables.
I say screw it. Go for 2. Score 11 touchdowns.
84-0. We set the Big Ten record for margin of victory.
Yeah. Keep in mind, Ohio State lost 86-0 to Michigan, but that was before the Big Ten existed. So.
Oh, okay. Then we're gonna score 87. We're gonna score the 12 touchdowns and a field goal.
Yeah, but Michigan will say, "Well, who cares? You know, I want to be." An actual Big Ten game against the same team at the same place.
I mean, if I'm Ryan Day this week, I'm going in there and be like, we're setting the record this week, folks. Like, that's our goal. Like, no, I think that's an awesome goal to strive for. Like, if we can set it at, like, 87 points, we got to break that old Michigan record, too. We just need to get that out of there, too, because then Michigan fans, we don't want them being like, oh, we scored 86 against you. You guys only scored 84 against Rutgers. Like, no, we need to go for 87, completely get rid of that record too, set the new record, and I think that's an awesome goal to have to keep the boys, you know, focused.
Yeah, I agree, but going 79-0, that would be mine, my pick. Rutgers won't score.
If they do score, they fire the cannon, which is pretty fun.
Why don't they fire the cannon every time the Buckeyes score?
I think they did one year. I think it got that bad where they actually did.
Yeah. I actually almost went to that game. I found 35-yard line seats, $25 a piece. My dad and I were going to go, but dad's boss wouldn't let him off work. I mean, I'm kind of bummed because my goal in life is to see the Buckeyes play at every Big Ten stadium against – I've already seen them play against Michigan, so I don't have to go back to that ugly stadium. So, and they won. So, I was trying to knock one off, but I think next year we're shooting a goal to go to Maryland in November or Champaign, Illinois. So, we want to knock the small ones off first. So, and I want Penn State to get like a new coach where they're not relevant anymore, so I can go over there. But, all right, college football this week.
It's a good schedule. It's a really, really good schedule, honestly.
Yeah, and for once, my computer is actually looking up to me this week.
And before we start this segment, man, I just want to point out, I was right on a couple big predictions last week. I got the Minnesota pick right. I got the LSU pick right. I got the Wisconsin pick right. I just want to give myself a pat on the back.
Yeah, you're right. And on the, I mean, we almost had the TCU one, right?
We did. I mean, that went to double overtime. I'm not count. That's a loss, but that's a good, that's a quality loss.
Yeah. So, oh, by the way, next week is going to be the SEC, the Bunch of Nuts podcast, annual SEC Bitch Fest. So tune in next week because that's when all your big shot SEC teams play these FCS schools. So tune in next week for Big Cass and Dan Smith. Was this now second annual SEC Bitch Fest week?
gonna be quite a thrilling episode.
So that's what I'm gonna call it now. Like every year, as long as we do this podcast, the week before we play Michigan is all the week before the rivalry week is the week that SEC teams play crap schools.
Every year, like the Citadel,
Western like, Carolina.
Yeah.
So. That's why we're going to call it the SEC Bitch Fest Week next week. So shoot me with these games, sir.
All right. First one on the schedule, noon. We got number 24, finally back in the AP polls after a long hiatus. The number 24 Indiana Hoosiers at number 9 Penn State.
I'm going to go Penn State close. But close, because I think they're still going to overlook to Ohio State. I think that their loss against Penn State, I mean, at Minnesota last week, they're going to be angry, and they're going to want to win, especially, going into Columbus the following week. Indiana keeps it close, because that's a tough, tough football team, other than when they played the Buckeyes. And they're having a nice season. I know they got Michigan next week, and that could be another trap game for the Wolverines. Actually, coming off what they're coming off this week, we'll get more into that. I'm sure Dan's got that on the list.
I do.
But I got Penn State in a very close game.
I got the Hoosiers. This is my bold prediction. I'm putting my money where my mouth is right now. I got the Hoosiers. I actually took Indiana money line in this game, like for $5. I'm taking the Hoosiers. This is the best Indiana team we've seen in a while. Penn State, they're dragging their feet a little bit. They lost to Minnesota. College football playoffs not looking too good. Indiana's got the momentum right now. First time back in the AP poll, like we said, they've got momentum. This is a real solid Indiana team. I think they pull off the upset. I think they get a signature win in Happy Valley and stun the world. Because remember, after Penn State lost to Ohio State, That one year, they dropped the next game to Michigan State. So keep an eye out for this one.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be close. I still got Penn State. By the way, this guy in our Facebook group, Ohio State Football's Facebook group, Tim Barrett, got to give props to you. We used to do Cardo Jones' Tweets of the Week. Maybe we'll do that once the season's over. But this dude, if I had to give one, Chase Young will have 3 sacks against Rutgers and won't even be in the same state.
It's true.
So, but yeah, I got Penn State. You got Minnesota.
Okay.
Indiana, sorry.
All good. Do we do Alabama, Mississippi State, or we all think Alabama wins that?
Alabama wins cleanly.
Yep. Okay. Michigan State, Michigan, noon.
If Michigan State loses this game, you fired Mark D'Antonio yesterday. Michigan State's in a lot of trouble. But it is a big-time rivalry. They're going to be pissed off, excuse my language, from what happened last year in East Lansing. But I think Michigan is playing a lot better, especially in defense, because according to Don Brown, they are hitting their stride. I'm going with the Wolverines. Just because there's not enough for Michigan State. They're really bad right now.
I mean, I got to go with the Wolverines too in this one. Two reasons. One, Michigan State's not ranked, so that's a lock for Harbaugh then, because he doesn't beat ranked teams. Two, Michigan State's just so injured. I mean, I was looking at their injury report. Literally half their offense is half their team just basically on IR or pretty banged up. So. Obviously, it's a rivalry game. It could be close, but I got to take the Wolverines.
Yeah, no question. And they should fire D'Antonio the next day. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Move on. And, keep in mind, there's a name, hot name, and it worked for him before. If that happens, they hired a guy from Cincinnati and Mark D'Antonio and turned that program around. Would they pull the trigger and do it again and hire Luke Fickell? But would Luke Fickell leave Cincinnati and go to Michigan State?
It's a really good questions to ask, man. I mean, with Luke Fickell too, some other Big Ten jobs could be opening depending on what happens with James Franklin, because there's rumors of him to USC.
Yeah, but they're rumored to get the Penn State would be rumored to get either Matt Campbell or the Baylor head coach. Baylor head coach is the dude. He's the Penn State guy. He's played for Penn State and all that stuff.
True. Next game though, number 21 Navy at number 16 Notre Dame.
This will be first time in 273 games that Notre Dame is expecting a non-sellout. And I was reading about this, and I'm like, why? This is a rivalry matchup.
Yeah.
Service Academy. But I guess people are not happy with is it Brian Kelly, the coach?
Yeah.
And they want possibly his tenure to gone. But here's the problem with Notre Dame, and I have to agree with Zach Smith on this. Join a conference, and maybe you can contend and get players to come to your school and contend. Because kids care about winning rings, right? Winning mm-hmm. trophies.
Absolutely.
You win a trophy in a conference. You win a trophy going to a bowl game. You win a trophy of possibly going to a national championship. Not just going straight to a national championship, even if you get lucky. So join a conference, and maybe you won't have the problem. Because I don't think any big name coach is going to go there, except maybe Urban Meyer, because he did say that was his dream job. But they're not going to be able to recruit against all these other schools because kids want to wear rings and trophies. I'm going to go with Navy with the upset.
This game, I feel like, is always close. Navy technically has the better record too. They're 7-1. Navy's sneaky.
This is playing for a New Year's Six Bowl. If Navy wins, they are in a New Year's Six Bowl, in my opinion.
Yeah, honestly, man, I think I'm going to go Navy, too. We watched kind of what Georgia did to Notre Dame. And they, that real ground-and-pound style. Obviously, Notre Dame doesn't do that great, I don't think. I think, obviously, Navy, does that amazing because they can't throw the ball. It's going to be a cold one. Which is why it's not selling out, people are saying. So I'm going to go with Navy. It's just ridiculous that this isn't selling out. This is a ranked team coming to play you, Notre Dame. Like, this should be a sellout.
Absolutely. And it's a rivalry game.
It's pathetic, honestly.
All right.
Number 5, Georgia. Number 13, Auburn.
Number 4, Georgia.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it has the AP poll rankings.
I'm looking at ESPN. They have the college football playoff. I'm going with Auburn.
Yeah, same.
They're at home on CBS. I think they're playing with a chip on their shoulder. I think Georgia's not as good as everybody thinks, including the committee. They lost to South Carolina at home, who also lost to Appalachian State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is Appalachian State is the only team in the Sun Belt to have two wins versus Power 5 conference teams in the conference history. And they've only been in the Sun Belt for 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, I got Auburn in this too. I just think like we said, South Carolina is not good. They're a dumpster fire right now. They are like the Michigan State of the SEC right now. Like, just no identity. They do not play well at all. I got Auburn. It's a home game. It's a rivalry game. I don't think Auburn drops this one. I think this is a must win for Auburn, just to kind of salvage this season. So, go Tigers.
And they would still have Alabama on the schedule too.
Yeah. Then we have Minnesota versus Iowa.
Can I do one right before I just coming up with this? Number 19, Texas at Iowa State. Iowa State should have beat Oklahoma. And I'm going with Iowa State. This is a game that I don't think you had on your list, but I'm going with Iowa State with the upset over Texas.
Yeah, Brock Purdy, man. Brock Purdy, one of the best, most underrated quarterback probably in the nation.
This is what I want. A lot of people think I'm crazy, and I'm, you know, everybody knows I'm a Bengals fan, and I want us to draft Chase Young and then Brock Purdy in the second round. People look at me like I'm stupid.
Brock Purdy's a real – I don't think he's even eligible. I think he's a true sophomore right now.
Oh.
You can get him next year.
Maybe.
But, yeah, I got Iowa State.
All right. Okay, speaking of Iowa, hosting number eight ranked Minnesota. Minnesota, you better watch out.
I got the Gophers in this one.
I got the Gophers too, but you better watch out because they have Wisconsin coming up on the schedule. This Iowa sneaky. I'm going with Minnesota. Watch out! This is gonna be a very good football game.
It is. It's gonna be. I'm kind of bummed it's on the same time as the Ohio State game, but that's a good one. Then we have Oklahoma Baylor.
I'm going with Oklahoma. I just don't think Baylor is that good. But you know what? I'm going with Baylor. I'm gonna go with the Baylor Bears. I'm gonna go with my. I think Baylor's got a lot to prove, and they want that Minnesota effect. And Baylor knocks off Oklahoma, it'll really shake things up between 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah, that would be madness. I got Oklahoma in this one though.
Going with Baylor. And then LSU plays at Ole Miss. I mean, LSU, I coming off a high. I know Joel Klatt said Ole Miss could possibly beat them, but I can't agree with Joel Klatt on that.
Well, I'll give you an interesting stat though. The last time LSU, I believe, had a top 10 win, the week after they played Ole Miss and lost, and it's at Ole Miss. So, I'm not saying history repeats itself, but this is looking like it could be an interesting one. It's something to keep an eye on. I do think LSU gets it done. But that's going to be an interesting one if it's close. You know, if it's 9 p.m. and it's the third quarter and this one's close, this is going to be a nice prime time game to, you know, watch.
Okay. All right, we got some I'm going to go throw a wrinkle in this. Obviously, college basketball is in full frontal. You know, you had some big wins this week. You know, Michigan State won on a last second shot. My thoughts and prayers go out to Cassius Winston and the loss of his brother. He came out and he's played two nice games back to back. So
absolutely.
This week I'm gonna go look at Sunday just because, you know, Marquette plays Wisconsin this week. That's a big time Wisconsin rivalry. Arizona's got New Mexico State. New Mexico State isn't all that bad. Florida's got UConn at UConn. There really isn't big name matchups on Sunday. Louisville is at home, but they play North Carolina Central. So St. Mary's is on the schedule as long as Oregon. But I'm going to go with Wisconsin over Marquette. They're at home. Let's see if there's any games on tonight.
I know Ohio State plays on Monday, I believe. They play Stetson. If we don't win that one, and everything we just did to Villanova is for nothing. Nothing.
Let's do Monday during the week. Kentucky plays Utah Valley. Do they lose two games in a row to crappy opponents?
Zero shot.
Michigan State plays Charleston Southern. Michigan State wins.
This is sounding like SEC bitch week, this schedule.
Yeah, Ohio State plays Stetson. I'm trying to see if there's any big time matchups because sometimes there are. Tuesday, college basketball. Tuesday, doesn't look like it. Wednesday, no. I'm done looking. I mean, yeah. Georgia Tech. Yeah. Okay, that's it.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, there's not that many good games in basketball, but, I mean, it's also kind of the dead period. But
so, Dan, my goal to you this week is start the OHIO chain in Piscataway. I want you to be that guy to start that. I know you'll have a few brews in you to get that started, because that stadium's going to be dead, just because other than Ohio State fans, I mean, I want you to take a picture and put it on there and be like, this is that kickoff. See how many empty seats are.
Yeah, I wish Rutgers was like green or like something, because it's not fair that they're literally the same color as us. Because literally, it's that stadium tomorrow is going to be about 80% Ohio State fans. It always is. I'm wondering if our buddy Tennessee Jeff is going to be there. My goal is to find him if he's there.
I don't know. I don't think so. I know he bought his tickets for Michigan and Penn State blasted those. Oh, and by the way, this is official. I got to cross some T's and dot some I's, but to see where the East champion is going to be, which side of the field they're going to be on, but it is sounding like that I'm going to be going to the Big Ten championship game. So, and I know you have talked about it, so keep in mind, we'll keep it open up. If you're listening to this, Bunch of Nuts, it sounded like, because I think you were talking about going.
Oh, yeah.
So, Bunch of Nuts podcast, they're probably the first game ever. I know we briefly saw each other at the Rutgers game last year, but we briefly, for that one, but we are first time ever, we are headed to the Big Ten championship game, if the Buckeyes get there, which I don't see them, why not?
Road tripping.
I think we'll meet up there and, go to some tailgating, some fan fest, because every person that purchases a ticket gets a free entry to the fan fest, Big Ten Conference Fan Fest there.
Oh, sweet.
So, we are headed to the Big Ten championship game when the Buckeyes go.
Just think of this. We will be going to Indianapolis before Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, Minnesota could be in Indianapolis before Jim Harbaugh.
Well, I mean, be on the lookout, though, because they're about to hire Willie Taggart, so.
Oh, my God. At what?
I have no idea. He was spotted at a hockey game at Michigan with Jack Harbaugh. So God knows what they're thinking about hiring that man for. But that man is the most underqualified man I've ever. Everywhere he's gone, he's lost. And yet people just keep paying him tons of money. It makes no sense. I implore you, Michigan, hire that man. Hire him. Let's see what happens. There's no way that ends well for you. But do you guys?
Great idea. But here we go. Before we get off here, we're looking for sponsorships. We got some bright ideas. We had a conference call with another co-founder of Big Sports Bulletin. Dan, if you want to lead the way, we're kind of changing a little bit of formatting on Big Sports Bulletin.
Yeah, we're kind of more localizing it these days to more Ohio sports, whether it be Otterbein, Capital, Ohio State. Trying to get some more high school coverage and just more like Columbus coverage. With obviously we're going to keep the Browns and Bengals, content, Indians, all the good stuff, but focus less on the Big Ten as a whole and more as, Ohio and then any major news in the Big Ten.
Special shout out to Barstool Sports Ohio State and Minuteman Tickets. It sounds like they listen to us and they retweet our stuff and they give us a shout out on Twitter. So shout out to them for doing so.
Absolutely.
Warriors, shout out to them. That's a big step, obviously, much love for Dan Hope and his company over there at 11 Warriors, retweeting our stuff. We're going places, we're starting small, but we're going. So if you want to, Dan and I got to get our heads in air, got to get our heads together, think about a sponsorship, how we can do this. So if you're interested in sponsoring Bunch of Nuts podcast or anything Big Sports Bulletin, contact us through Twitter, and we'll give us, more information of our contact info. We are really seeking sponsorships because we have a 2 to 3 year plan of doing a 3-man broadcast team for high school, for local high school football. And that is our goal 2 to 3 years down the road. So if you're interested in doing some sponsorships with us, let's work out a deal, get a contract going, and so on and so forth.
DMs are open, folks.
So 79-0 Buckeyes, you had 87-0 Buckeyes. Nothing but love for the Ohio State men's basketball team. Good luck against Stetson Monday. Women's basketball, good luck. Anything Ohio State, good luck. And good luck to Walnut Ridge tonight as I be getting ready to head a 2-hour drive to Bellbrook for a big game. Hopefully Walnut Ridge can come out and big underdogs against LaSalle, Cincinnati LaSalle. Some big-name players have came out of Cincinnati LaSalle, so good luck to the Walnut Ridge Scots tonight. Good luck to the Buckeyes tomorrow.
Absolutely. Go Bucks, and let's get nutty.